Shmuel Beis, everybody, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Beis. Here's the Pasuk. You got the Melech David Lemor. It was told over to the King David saying, Beruch Hashem is Beis Oved Edom, that the house of Oved Edom had been blessed. That's Kol Asher Lo Bavur Aron Elokim. Everything that he owned, everything that was his, because of the Aron Elokim, because the Aron that was inside Oved Edom's house. But David Yalos Aron Elokim Beis Oved Edom, Ir David Besimcha. So David HaMelech decided it's time to bring up the Aron Kodesh from the house of Oved Edom to the Ir David, to the city of David HaMelech, with Simcha. Now, the first time that he brought this all out, obviously things were not going the way that he planned. He wanted everything to go well, but he had all the people there. There was a lot of Simcha, a lot of frivolity. He was bringing it by wagon instead of on the shoulders of the Levium. And not only that, but also Peretz and Uzzah were not treating it properly, right? They're trying to catch it just in case it would fall, chas v'shalom, right? Stuff like that. Everything was like that. He decided he's going to do this completely different. So if you'll notice, the wording is Vayelech David Vayao. Nobody else with him. It's as if David HaMelech went alone. The people that he brought were only the greatest tzaddikim that understood what they were doing and why they were doing it. And again, he accepted Achitofel's Musar that he gave him before. Now the Levium were going to carry it on their shoulders. Not the Kohanim and not wagons, not Peretz and Uzzah. The Levium were going to carry it on their shoulders this time, and everything's going to be there. And not only that, Bisimcha is not only was David HaMelech Bisimcha, Oved Edom was Bisimcha. The Barbanel says that he had benefited greatly from the Aaron's presence. He had all those children that were born until 64 children and grandchildren that were born during that time. There were obviously was a lot of great things that happened over here. That's what happens. He was Bisimcha as they were bringing it out. Vayi. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayi Ketzadu, Nosei Aron Hashem, Shisha Tzadim, as they stepped, those who carried the Aron of Hashem, six steps, Vayi Zbach Shor Marie. They sacrificed an ox and a fatling and a big sheep. They did that all together. Now, the Kliyakar says, obviously, the first thing they did is they wanted to take six steps. Apparently, they only took six steps the last time when Uzzah reached out to reach the Aron Kodesh and died. So when they took six steps this time, they all stood there saying, what's going to happen? And when they saw that no one died, everything was okay, the Aron didn't try jumping out of off the Levium's arms and everything like that, when they successfully took the six steps, they decided to bring a korban, right? That's the idea. Some say it was the Levium that brought the korban, for sparing them the misfortune that happened to Uzzah. Uzzah was killed. We can survive this. Well, they were okay with that. The Radak says that it was the six steps that they took over there. Clearly, it cannot be that every six steps they took, they brought cows. First of all, it would take a billion years to bring the Aron Kodesh to Yerushalayim. There's no way that that's what they actually did. Second of all, what are you filling all of Eretz Yisrael filled with animals? You're going to do animals every six steps? That's just ridiculous, right? It seems instead that after each set of six steps, they offered an ox and a fatling. After six steps of six steps, they did seven bullocks and seven rams, and that's why in Divrei Yom it says seven and seven instead of one and one, right? That's what they did over here. It's possible that they brought all of that. Maybe they brought in Yerushalayim when they went all the way there, right? That's the idea behind it. Chazal say that there were six steps parallel to the six corners of the world, plus, obviously, the sixth of Sivan when the Torah was given. Okay, Pasuk Yudalit. V'David macharke b'cholos of Hashem. David HaMelech was dancing, leaping about with all of his strength in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'David chagur ephod bad. David was wearing an ephod bad, a linen garment. He was jumping all over the place. He stood out from the rest of the crowd. Obviously, the melech usually is subdued, somebody with a lot of kavod, somebody that people do not expect to be jumping around. But he was dancing more than everybody else. That's the idea behind it. Karkara is an interesting word, mecharker, that it uses for David HaMelech jumping around. It seems that kirkara is referring to like almost light-footed. And according to Yeshaya, it's a light-footed camel. David HaMelech went barefoot to jump in front of the Aron Kodesh and to do all of his dancing. And he was going like fine gold. He was shining in front of everybody there, Bechol Oz, with all of his strength, and everybody could see him. David HaMelech and all Bnei Yisrael, because after David HaMelech started with the great tzaddikim, all of Bnei Yisrael joined when they heard what was happening. They brought up the Aron Hashem with great noises and blasts of the shofars. Via Aron Hashem, but Ir David, and it came to Ir David, Michal bas Shol, Nishkafa b'Arach Halon. Michal, daughter of Shol, looked out her window. What? So this is going to be it. Vateras HaMelech David, she saw the King David with Fazez, and he was prancing, Umecharker Lifnei Hashem, and jumping around in front of Hashem. Vatives lo beliba. She despised him in her heart. The pshat is, whenever a mitzvah like this happens, the Satan comes in to undermine it, to ward off the evil and confound all the accusations that were made over here, Bnei Yisrael brought up the Arun Kodesh with shouts and with the blast of the shofar. Maybe they did it to honor the Malchus Shemayim. What's up? From Shaul HaMelech. Very, very good. We're going to get to that in a second. But that's exactly what happened right over here. But even though David HaMelech saw Micha and saw that Micha was despised by him, he did not stop for 1 second. He didn't think anything of it. He did greater enthusiasm, greater energy, did not stop himself. Pasuk Yud Zayin, by Aviu, as Aron Hashem Yetzigu Osu Bim Komo. They brought the Aron of Hashem, and they placed it in the place, Besocha Ol, inside an Ohel, Asher Natalo David, that David had made for it. Now again, at this time, there was no official Mishkan. There was no Beis HaMikdash. So he figured he would do it in a temporary spot in Ir David, and he put it there. Vayal David Olos Nei Hashem U'Shlamim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then brought Olos and Shlamim right in front of the Aron Kodesh, right? I don't know if he got them ready already. He had Mishmaros of the Kohanim and Levim. I don't know if he had them already, if he knew what was happening. Either way, he put it in a tent to represent the Mishkan. Vayichal David Mehalos Ola, the Shlamim. David finished bringing up the Olos and the Shlamim. Yivarach Zohan B'Shem Hashem Tzavakos. And just like Shlomo Melech does, he felt like he had to bless the people when he was ready to do so. Maria Kara says that Hashem's Shechina was right above when they brought in the Aron Kodesh. So David was inspired to use that Shechina and put it upon him. And that's why I said, B'Shem Hashem Tzvakos, to be able to go through. In Divrei Yamim, it mentions exactly what the bracha is. It goes through the bracha and it says every word of the bracha itself. And some say that David Melech brought it in, he started singing his own Tehillim and the Mizmorim and taught it to Asaph, who was the head of the Levium that were the Mishmaros there, and they all started singing, they all started going through. Pasuk Yutes, Vayichalak l'chol am l'chol man Yisrael l'mi'ish v'adish l'ish, chalas lechem echod, v'eshpor echod, v'ashisha echos, v'yelak olam yish l'veso. And he divided up for all the people, for all the multitudes of Bnei Yisrael, from man unto woman, each man got the following. He got a loaf of bread, a good piece of meat, and a flask of wine. And then everybody went back. The word eshpar is interesting. It's shisha mipar, a sixth of the cow. A sixth of the cow. So he gave a sixth of a cow to every person. So every cow that he sacrificed, one for every sixth person, right? 1/6 for every person. By Yashav David Levarach Hasbeso. David Melech then returned to go bless his house. This, by the way, is an amazing feat of David Melech. He didn't go home first. He didn't get the honor that his household was giving him. He went to the house after dealing with the people. He spoke to all the people, he was dealing with everybody. Says the Malbim, he didn't wait for any of the honors that was there. The Tzibor, the Aron, and then he went back home to be able to deal with the household. Vateitze Michal Bas Shaul Likras David. Michal Bas Shaul went to go greet David. Vatomer, and she said, Manich Para Yom Melech Yisrael. How honorable were you today, O King of Israel? Sher Nigla Yom Le'ene Amhos Avadov. That you are uncovering yourself in front of the handmaids of your servants. Kigolz Niglos Acharekim, like somebody who's drunk, an empty-headed person, would make himself, reveal himself, unabashedly uncover himself in front of the other people around there. What were you thinking? What were you thinking, Michal said? Now, very quickly, Erev and Tzadi Bavim Aleph says that Michal Bas Shaul was a tremendous tzadekis. In fact, she may have worn tefillin. And even though that's normally not done by women, she was on the level where she had perfected herself to such a degree that she was able to do such a thing. She was also a king's daughter. Unlike any of his other wives, there was a certain amount of kavod that Michal had that none of his other wives had. As great as Bathsheba and Abigail and Avinoam, Achinoam, and all the other wives he had, there was no one quite like Michal. Michal was very, very special. And if you'll remember, Shaul HaMelech inherited something from his great-grandparents of Tznius. There was a Tznius that Shaul HaMelech had that Michal for sure had as well. Her idea was, you don't do such a thing. This is something that she was mocking David HaMelech on. You took off your royal robes, you were wearing this ephod bad, this little thing as if you're jumping around, as if you're just another dancer, as if you're a dancer in front of the Aron Kodesh itself, right? That's not revering the position that you have. You are a king. You can't be mochel on your kavod. There's no way to do it. Now, she also felt that it was a breach of tznius. The Midrashim say that David HaMelech did not hold back in his response to her. The response that we have is Vayomer David Omichal Lufnei Hashem Asher Bachav Yimei Avich. I'm doing this in front of God because He chose me over your father. He chose me over your father. He did not hold back. Mikol Beso and all of his household. Where's Ishbosheth right now? Where's Ishbosheth, your brother? Oh, he died because your father's house was not worthy. Letzavos osi nagid al am Hashem. I was commanded as the prince over the people of Hashem, al Yisrael, am b'nei Yisrael, v'sichakti l'fnei Hashem. And I frolicked in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I had fun in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'na kalosi od mizos. I would do even more than this. But you see, shuffle be'enai. I'm low in my eyes. V'ima yimot ha'shar amarti imami kaveda. And if I have to be honored with the other handmaids instead of you, then I'll do that. Then I'll be honored through them and I don't have to be honored through you. Okay, now, there's a lot going on here, a real lot going on here. So the first thing is the Midrashim say, David HaMelech said to Michal, you realize that this is exactly why Shaul was not chosen. Exactly. Because Shaul cared too much about what the people thought. That when Shmuel Navi said, wait for me, do not bring the korban until I come 7 days later, Shaul HaMelech could not wait anymore because the people didn't want to wait. So he said, forget it, I'm out, I'm going to do it right now. And therefore, he lost his kingdom. You realize that that's what happened over there. I don't allow the people to decide for me whether it's good or bad. You're going to tell me you think that other people are going to look down? I don't care. That has nothing to do with me whatsoever. David HaMelech then answered, 100% a Talmud Chacham is allowed to shame himself in front of the Torah. This is what tzaddikim do when it comes to Simchas Torah. This is what's supposed to be done. You get into it and that's what's supposed to be over here. This is not the way that anybody else should. It shouldn't be that people are holding themselves back when you're trying to have a simcha from the Torah itself. And that's the idea behind it. It could be that Michal had good intentions. She knew that her father, right, was punished because of that. And maybe she thought David HaMelech was doing it for the people as opposed to for the honor of the Sefer Torah. And David HaMelech assured her, no. This is entirely because of the honor of the Torah. Even though David was saying that a king can't be mochel his own kavod, a king can be mochel his kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't usually happen that way. Normally, you don't have an ability to be mochel your kavod in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this, he was able to do. And because of the Aron Kodesh, I am allowed to do such things. That's how the Abarbanel says it. Yeah, what are you going to say?
Obviously, his response was justified, but was the way he responded justified? Like, what was the point? Like, to put her in her place? Like, he could have, you know.
I get it. In other words, why does he have to be so harsh?
If she actually was the daughter of a king, and on this such high level,
mm-hmm.
What's the justification for how, like?
I think it might be that Michal's response. Maybe she wasn't just speaking to her, you know, to herself. Maybe she was doing it in front of other people. Maybe she even maybe embarrassed him publicly. Maybe something like that was happening, and Michal was saying it in front of other people, which David, under no terms, he said, "I am not taking that because that is not the right hashkafa, not the way of going about it." And it's because you're from Shaul that this happened. So I think he publicly said what he said to make sure she knew this is not what we're going to do over here. There's an interesting line over here. It says, "V'ima ha'mos ha'sharmati imami kaveda." It says, according to the Medrash, you will never be an ima. You will lose your right to be a mother. Right, and the next pasuk is just that. She did not have a child until the day of her death because of that, because of this over here. So now Chazal argue. So there were women during the time when the Aron Kodesh was brought back where they had 6 children because of the honor that was brought to the Aron Kodesh by them, etc. Mide keneged mida, Michal, who did not show that kavod, was punished with childless until the day of her death. Now, some say that, well, Pashup Shad, the Radak says, is that she was childless her whole life. She did not have any children. That's what it sounds like from the Pasuk. But some darshan out the last part over here where it says, Ad Yom Mosa, until the day of her death. Until the day of her death, she didn't have a child. But on the day she died, she gave birth to a child. And what happened to the child? The child died. The child lived and she died.
Right.
So she died on the day that she gave birth to a kid. That's what it means, ad yomosa, until the day of her death itself, which is pretty absolutely amazing, but that's that. There's another opinion that says, no, until the day of your death, with David HaMelech. Some say that Michal lost her kids, that they died during her lifetime. But that's a strange thing to say, because David HaMelech would have been punished by that just as much. There's no way David HaMelech was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Michal to lose the children that he already had with her. There is a pasuk that we say later on that there were children of Michal it seems that those children of Michal may have been Meirav's, her sisters, and she raised them. And therefore, it was as if she gave birth to them, but she did not actually give birth to them. Chazal do say, there was no one in the world who embarrassed himself in front of the Torah like David HaMelech. He was clearly the greatest person when it came to doing something like this. Either way, but those are the three ideas that are possible over here, right, and how they go through. There's an order of events that go through from now on, and it seems like it's in order chronologically, but we have to discuss this. I'm not positive that their chronological order is exactly in place, so we'll have to discuss it as time goes on to see if there's things that are there. But in Divrei Hayamim, there's opposite orders. So I just want you to point out from this is the end of Parak Vav, but what's going to be in, you know, for the next couple Parakim, whether this is in exactly in order or not, I'm not positive. Okay, Parak Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi Ki Yashav Melech V'Beis Hashem Hiniach Lo Misaviv Mikol Levav. David HaMelech was sitting in his house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him around. He was free. He was given rest from all of the enemies around him. David HaMelech felt something was wrong. He's sitting in this palace, this awesome palace that was made for him by Hiram, the king of Tsur. Everything was really awesome. His house is awesome. Everything was good. And the Aron Kodesh is sitting in a tent. And he just said, something's wrong. How can I be sitting in this while there something's happening? Now, Chazal say there are three things you got to do when you come to Eretz Yisrael. The first thing is you got to appoint a king. Second thing is you got to destroy Amalek. Third thing is you build the base of Mikdash. They had already appointed a king, Shaul and David Amalek. He had already killed Amalek. Now, had he decimated Amalek, we don't know. But he killed all of the Amalekim that were clearly around. The third thing is to build the base of Mikdash. So he decided, now it's time. He knew from Shmuel and Avi where the base of Mikdash is going to be. If you guys remember, before we said he learned with Shmuel, Benayos Beramah. And Chazal Darshan, Nayos is not Ramah, it's two totally different places. But Binayos is the Binyan Baramah, on the highest point of the world, which is Haram Uriah. He darshaned where the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be, and therefore it's like that. But unfortunately, as we'll see, it's not going to work out. That's why it starts off with the word Vayihi. Vayihi connotes sadness. In almost all psukim, it connotes sadness. So it ends up being that David HaMelech will not be able to do so. He will not be able to do so until he does something else. We're going to see that it was a grief that David HaMelech had that he wasn't able to build the Beis HaMikdash in his time, that it had to be given over to his son. Pasuk Beis. Vayomer HaMelech Nasan HaNavi, the king said to Nasan HaNavi, Re'ina Anochi Yoshib Beis HaRazin. Look, I'm sitting in a house made of cedar wood. Va'aron Elokim Yoshib B'Socha Yiriyah. And the Aron Elokim is going to dwell within a curtain? Is that what's going to happen over here? So he knew, the king knew, that you need a Navi and then Sanhedrin to agree to build the Beis HaMikdash, and then you can build the Beis HaMikdash. He said, I'm ready. So the king said, I'm ready to go. I think I can do this. He asked Nasan and Avi first, and they went from there. And that's going to be the idea behind it. Chazal say something amazing, and I don't know where the proof is. David HaMelech did not enjoy anything he had in his palace until he could build the Beis HaMikdash, which means his whole life. He never enjoyed, he never slept on the most comfortable bed. He always was missing something, knowing that the Beis HaMikdash had not been built yet. You know, like on Tisha B'Av, you'll sleep with like one pillow instead of six, right? You'll do that. So I one time when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was speaking to one of my rabbis there. I was like, yeah, I didn't have an easy time, you know. I just had one pillow, it just wasn't there. He's like, you sleep on a bed? I just looked at him and was like, no, who sleeps on a bed, right? And from that point on, I have not slept on a bed. I've not slept on a bed by what's it called, Tisha B'Av, because of that one comment that my Rebbe made. I decided, okay, I won't do it. And I have the worst night of sleep of all time, and good times. So it says over here, it says, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Nasan Olam Melech, Kol Asher Bo'Vavcha Leichaseh, anything that's in your heart, go and do. Ki Hashem Imach, Hashem is with you in everything you do. Now, a Navi is infallible if Hashem gives him a Nevuah to say. If Hashem gives him a Nevuah, he's infallible. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give him a Nevuah, he's just a Yoetz, an advisor, and he says smart things, and he says right things to the right people, then a Navi can make a mistake. The Barbanel says he looked over and he assumed that it was Ruach HaKodesh. He assumed that David Melech had Ruach HaKodesh, and that's what he said to him, Kol Asher Bo'Vavcha Leichaseh. You have Ruach HaKodesh, things that worked out well for you, so he just assumed everything was going to be fine.
But that's not true. Everything up until now, Dov has been asking the Urim Atum.
The Urim Atum, correct.
That's so not Ruach.
There is no issue. Well, but he had Ruach HaKodesh in many other ways. So even though he hadn't gone and gotten that, you know, he didn't necessarily have a direct Nevuah, but there's Ruach HaKodesh. Dov and Amalek had that Ruach Hashem that came in with Golias. There was something. So Nelson and Avi assumed there's got to be a reason for it. So he just assumed it's going to be okay. And if you'll notice, by the way, it says, Vayomer Nasan. El HaMelech. Everybody see that?
Not
in the previous pasuk, it says, Vayomer HaMelech El Nasan HaNavi. He asked him for a nevuah, but Nasan didn't have a nevuah. He said out of his own heart, you know what? I think it's a good thing. I don't think you'll have a problem with it. It says in pasuk Dalet, Vayiba Lailahu, it wasn't that very night. Vayidvar Hashem El Nasan Lemor. So the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Nasan HaNavi and said the following. Now, Rashi says he had to stop him immediately. He could not wait. This was an immediate nevuah because David HaMelech is the type of person that when he's told yes, he's going to do it immediately. He may have already hired workers. That might be. As soon as David HaMelech found out, he could have been like, all right, let's set it up right now. He might have hired workers, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make sure that you could make sure he cancels everything quickly, because otherwise he's going to lose a ton of money off this for absolutely nothing. That's number one. Number two, it's possible that he will make a shvua. Quite often, or a neder, David HaMelech knew that sometimes things happen, right? And, you know, you can't always fulfill what you want to fulfill. He may have made a neder. I swear I won't sleep in a bed until the Beis Hamikdash is built. I swear I'm not going to have any fruits until the Beis Hamikdash is built. He may have said such a thing. He may have made a neder. He may have made a shvuah. He may have done something like that, saying this is what I want to do. You have to go to him immediately. You have to go to him immediately and tell him that you can't build it. That's why Nasan HaNavi got that nevuah that very night. Lech v'amar to lav d'yol David. Go tell my servant, my David. Kol amar Hashem. This is what Hashem says. Hatativ nili b'ayis l'shifti. Are you going to build me a house to live in? Are you going to build me that house to live in? In Divrei Hayamim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis, it says, you have shed a lot of blood. You have been a warrior. You cannot do such a thing. So reason number one, innocent people have died, David, as casualties of war. That happens. When you're fighting an army, there are people that die. They get caught up. Right? As that happens, the Israeli army, as careful as they are, and they send out leaflets, here's what we're going to bomb. Nonetheless, people can die accidentally, even if they didn't mean to do it. That's what David HaMelech did. David HaMelech may not have been guilty of anything, but there were times where he fought people and people died on the side of war. Such a person can't build the Beis HaMikdash. The Abarbanel says it a lot simpler. The Beis HaMikdash requires complete peace from all the people around you. No one around you can have, you can't have any wars or any battles or whatever it is, and that's when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. You still haven't completed all of your wars. And because you haven't completed them yet, you won and it's peaceful, but it's not full of peace. Therefore, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash yet. That's the second answer, yeah. Agag, yeah. Yeah.
Escaped.
That escaped and went away and went somewhere else entirely. It's very that's very possible, and Amalek was still around.
But then they just did not make a new Amalek.
And there was that's correct. That's why you were able to do over here. So that's 100% true, and you could definitely consider it over there. Number three, Yalkut Shimoni. He did it l'shem Shemayim, but it's not enough. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Said David HaMelech. What did I do wrong? Is it not L'Shem Shemayim? Hashem said, it is L'Shem Shemayim. You can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Said David. Because if you build it, it will never be destroyed. David HaMelech said, that's exactly why I should build it. So it will never be destroyed. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't get it. If I can't destroy the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to have to kill more Jews. Because when they do something wrong, I would take my wrath out on the Beis HaMikdash, not on the Jews. Now I have to take it out on the Jews. More Jews will die. Said David HaMelech, then I'm out. I don't want to do it anymore. The Mechtam Eliyahu says he was so dedicated to Bnei Yisrael, he was willing to suffer not building the Beis HaMikdash because of that. So that's the third reason why he doesn't want to be. Number four, since I chose you, I have no need for a Beis HaMikdash yet. I don't want it yet. The Mishkan is good enough for this, and I'm perfectly fine with that, and that's that.
There was no Mishkan either, though.
I'm sorry? Sort of. The Ohel that was there represented the Mishkan. So that's good enough
but
for me.
But they actually had the pieces of the Mishkan anyway.
They did.
They?
Well, they had it, but they weren't allowed to put it back up because that was always supposed to be a temporary Mishkan, and the permanent Mishkan was in a structure in Shiloh, but that was destroyed by the War of Eli and when Hophni and Pinchas were killed. So it seems to be over there. Number five is the Ramban. The Ramban says the Beis HaMikdash represents peace, and that's Midas HaRachamim. David represents Midas HaDin. You can't mix the two together. You can't have David HaMelech, a man of war, building the Beis HaMikdash. That's very similar to the other answer that you wouldn't be able to destroy it, etc. But what?
Why? It's like a
different issue. Like, you can't have Din building up a house of Rachamim.
Why? We see between Aram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were able to change their midos. from time to time if
they can change it. But if the ikur behind it is din, and there is also, you know, covert messages of rachamim, that's not the bit. The Beis Hamikdash is entirely rachamim. No din whatsoever. So it had to be built by somebody who's like that. Yeah. Either way, if it's under his name and his auspices, the same way that the Beis Hamikdash is known as Shlomo's Beis Hamikdash, that's going to be a problem. Still going to be a problem. Yeah, that's going to be the next one out there. The Ramban says another answer. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him and said, it's not the people who want it. It's you. You're the only one who wants it. The king shouldn't be building the Beis Hamikdash. It should be the people building the Beis Hamikdash. If it was a national project, then it would be okay. But this isn't a national project. What is this? This is just you wanting to do something that I can't allow. That you wouldn't be able to allow. So even if you hire, it's going to be under him. It's going to be him doing it as opposed to the people doing it. He said, that's not enough. I can't allow that to happen.
Well, so then why did Kadosh Baruch Hu allow the pyramids to be built?
Pyramids. But pyramids were made before the Jews came down to Mitzrayim.
Were they?
Yeah. I mean, the structures that they made, and Pisom and Ramses?
The Jews one was that
no, no, no. They made other things. But Pisom and Ramses, is that what you're referring
to?
What about, why would that
be? No. I thought that the Jews helped build...
No, for sure not. No, the pyramids were built way before him. Okay. But well, either way, what difference does it make?
There was a king that had people build these massive things for him.
Right, and they were known as Paro's pyramids. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't go by them, it goes by the person.
But it's standing, that's what I'm saying.
Wait, it's not, you mean the Great Pyramid of Giza? Yeah. Most of the pyramids that they built, like Pisom and Ramses, are not standing today. Oh. But yeah, what the Jews did, it was shoddy work, you know? You want to get good craftsmanship. You don't get Israelis. That's not what you want. They're good for making high tech. Right. They're not good for making a building. You know what I'm saying? There is an awesome medrash over here, though. There's an awesome medrash. David HaMelech said, okay, I can't build the Beis Hamikdash. I'm going to do everything else. He dug Shisin. We haven't talked about him buying the land yet. We'll talk about that later. But he dug Shisin. He dug these things deep down inside the ground to the earth's foundation to be able to use as the base of the Beis Hamikdash. By the way, that's the reason why when people ask, why haven't we found all the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash? David HaMelech made a hole under the Beis Hamikdash that's extremely deep. We have no idea what's under there. We can't be there now. Right, but there is an unbelievably deep play. Anyway, he came all the way down and he saw a rock, a big piece of clay. Right? And he said he was going to pick it up, and the clay said, don't do so. Don't pick me up. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu made the marble, I have been pressed down against the Tehomos to hold the Tehomos, the deep waters, back. As soon as you pick me up, I'm going to drown the entire world. So David HaMelech said, well, how long have you been here for? So he said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it in Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the earth trembled and shook, and it almost destroyed the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore put me all the way down right over there. David HaMelech was not convinced. He picked it up, and immediately the waters started to shake and wanted to destroy the world. Achitofel was standing right there, but he did not say a thing. David HaMelech called out to everybody and said, anyone who knows, can I write a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and put it on the water, even though the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be erased? The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be erased if I put it down there. Am I allowed to do that in order to save the world? Achitofel knew the answer. If by Sota you're allowed to erase Hashem's name in order to give peace between a husband and wife, then for sure you could do so to make peace between... Right? The world, to make the world work out well. It's like a Kal Vachomer. If you can erase Hashem's name for a man and a wife.
I mean, that's Shalom. I mean, that's a whole different situation.
Shalom bin Ish Lishto, then for sure, Shalom in the entire world, to be able to keep the world set the way it is.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, to me, it would make sense the other way. If you can do it for the world, for sure you can do for husband and wife.
Whoa, husband and wife is just two people. The world is 7 billion.
I'm saying, so if you can definitely do for the world, for sure you can do for two people.
No. Again, hold on. If I can do it for two people, then... You were saying, like, if I can do it for... Oh, I hear what you're saying. You're saying if I can do it for the world, then for sure I can do it for two people.
That's what
I hear what you're saying. Okay, no. Go the opposite way. I can erase God's name even for just two people.
I
can erase Hashem's name for 7 billion. For sure I can do it for that. So Achitofel, by the way, the Medrash says that he turned and he said, oh, now I can be king. If David HaMelech dies, maybe I'll be king. Anyway, David HaMelech said, anybody who doesn't tell me, he should be hung. And Achitofel said, all right, fine, yes, you can do it. So he did it, David HaMelech did it, and he stopped the waters completely and it stayed right over there. He sang, but unfortunately it went too far down, so David HaMelech had to sing Shir HaMaalos to raise it up 15 levels. Really cool medrash, an unbelievably good medrash that goes through over there. Regardless, David HaMelech prepared all gold and silver for the Beis Hamikdash. None of it was used by Shlomo HaMelech. None of it. Why? Because it was all donated from other nations. Shlomo Melech said, I don't want anything from other nations. I want Jewish money being used for the Beis HaMikdash. Did not use any of the money. He just left it in the Beis HaMikdash coffers to be able to have it for them. Did not have anything else over there. Okay. It says, Pasuk Vav, Ki lo yishav yivayzal mi yom alosi es b'nei Yisrael mi Yitzrayim ad yom hazeh. I have not sat, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, from the day that I brought up b'nei Yisrael from Mitzrayim until today. V'ayom yishalach v'ol v'mishkan. I've been going around in a tent and in a mishkan. That's what I've done up until now. So it says, V'chol asher yisalach tu b'chol b'nei Yisrael ha'davar dibarti es achar shivtei Yisrael asher tzivisi l'oros zami es Yisrael leimor. Lama lo v'nisam li b'Yisrael razim. Wherever I went with all b'nei Yisrael, did I ever tell any of them who ruled b'nei Yisrael, whom I commanded to be in charge of my people, saying, why have you not built a Beis HaMikdash for me? I have not complained about this at all. I have not asked anybody. Asniel ben Knaz is not blamed. Eud ben Gera is not blamed. Shamgar ben Anas, Devor and Avia. I never asked them to build a Beis HaMikdash, and nobody was blamed. Why? Because they're waiting for me to say anything. And I haven't said anything yet because it's not yet time. That's going to be the idea behind it. And therefore, David HaMelech was told, it's not time yet. It's absolutely not time yet. Va'ata, kosa mar la'avdi l'David, go tell my servant David. Kor mar Hashem tzvokos, this is what Hashem says. Ani l'kachticha mina nove me'achar ratzon. I have taken you from the flocks, from behind the sheep. Leos nugget al mi'al Yisrael, so that you could be prince over my people, over B'nai Yisrael. David HaMelech, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the reason why he became king is because he treated his sheep so well. He made sure that the weak sheep always had somewhere to go, someone to take care of them. He knew that everybody got whatever they needed. That was David HaMelech with his sheep. You better believe he did the same thing with Klal Yisrael. He took care of them in everything they need, and he helped them out with everything that they could possibly want. Right? So that's what he said. So it says, there we go, and he made the mishmaros at this point, according to Chazal as well. I have been with you in everything you did. And I've cut off all of your enemies from in front of you. And I've made for you an awesome name, like the name of the Gedolim that are in the land itself. I made for you an awesome name in everything you did. Now, Chazal argue about this. What exactly does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him an awesome name? Some say that in the Yerushalmi, well, this is Yerushalmi, right? The Talmud Yerushalmi, there is a fourth bracha. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei David. You don't have that in your Shemoneh Esrei, right? We lost it. We don't have it because of what happened with Batsheva. But Elokei David was meant to be there, and I'll make for you a name means it should be there. You have a name that you should be among the Avos, that people know him as the fourth leg of the Kisei HaKavod. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David HaMelech, that he's up there as well. And it's supposed to be something that he's equal to the Avos. He never made it all the way there. There is none. It's him. It's technically him, but he never made it because of what happened with Batsheva. But think about it this way. Yosef HaTzadik was awesome and an unbelievable tzaddik. But I guess because he was the king for 80 years altogether, 80 years in Mitzrayim, he never got to be the Av.
Father, son.
But he was never on that level because he didn't stay with Yaakov. Had he stayed with Yaakov for another 20 years, who knows?
But whose fault is that? That's not his fault.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu's.
Okay, so why is that his fault? I mean,
nonetheless, he's not an Av. Okay, even if it's not his fault, it's still not going to be that way. But either way, there is a fourth, that is supposed to be the fourth leg. Magen David is used quite often. You've heard of Magen David. Everyone knows about Magen David, right? The shield that he had that looks like the Star of David or whatever it is, right? That Star of David. Magen David is the same thing as Magen Avraham. It's very similar to that idea. Either way, we do have this. Friday night meal is Yitzchak Avinu. Shabbos day meal is Avram Avinu. Shalosh Shudas is Yaakov Avinu. And Malava Malka is David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the fourth Av. Did you know that Shabbos was supposed to be 36 hours long? You'd wake up in the morning. That's not a bad thing. 36 hours long. You'd wake up in the morning on Sunday morning and have to make Havdalah. And by the way, there are places, like all the way up north, where technically you do that. It's cool. A friend of mine visited Iceland. I'm sorry? So on Sunday morning, it would be 36 straight hours. But listen to this. My friend went to Iceland. He said, this is the craziest thing. He said, Shabbos did not start in this area that he was in Iceland, at this time of year, he didn't start until 12:30 a.m., like Tosef Shabbos. He made early Shabbos at like 11 p.m. He had a full day on Friday. At 11 p.m., he made Kiddush, had a short meal, right, and then went to sleep. But he had, that was his Shabbos. He woke up in the morning, right, daven, whatever it was, and then Shabbos didn't end until late that night. So he just went to sleep and made Havdalah in the morning. It's like a different world, isn't it? But it was light outside for almost, it was something like 22 and a half hours. It was light outside.
Iceland?
Yeah, it was a certain part of our, certain part of like, whatever it was. But 22 and a half hours of daylight, right, during the time where it's summer. So it must have been in the middle of the summer. It was cold, but it wasn't like freezing cold, but that's that. There's also some great things, some four good tovos. Okay, anyway, Pasuk Yud. V'stamti makom l'am Yisrael, I'm going to make a place for my people, B'nai Yisrael. Unetativ, and I planted them there. V'shachan tachtov, and they will dwell there. V'lo yirgaz oy, there will no longer be trouble. V'lo yosif b'nai avlo anosek asher v'yishona. Evil people will no longer be able to torment them like they did originally. Meaning, yomash v'tivisi shoftim al'am Yisrael. From the day that I commanded Shoftim, judges upon my people Yisrael, then I'm going to make you rest over all of your enemies, right? Right over there. Oh, I'm sorry. It goes together. There's a weird wording of this pasuk. It's, I will not allow bad people to afflict you like it happened by the days of the Shoftim. Eventually, I'm going to let you rest from all of your enemies. And then a Beis HaMikdash will be made, but not until that point. Okay, that's that. Ki malu yamecha v'shachavta esavosecha. Your days will finish. You will sleep with your fathers. You will die. V'akimosi esarecha acharecha, and I will establish your children after you. Asher yetim mecha that come from your stomach. V'achinosi es mamlachto, and I will establish his kingdom. He does not say who the kingdom is going to be with yet. Remember, David HaMelech has a lot of kids so far. None of them are going to be king because Shlomo Melech has not been born yet. Who yivna ba'is l'shmi, he will build a Beis HaMikdash for my name. V'chonanti es kisei mamlachto ad olam, and I will secure his kingdom forever. There were seven things that David HaMelech just found out from Nelson and Navi about his future. Seven things. One, David was going to live at least 70 years. Yimlu'u yamecha, you're going to have a full life. And a full life back then was 70 years. So he knew he was going to get it. Yes, you could probably figure it out, right? But yamecha is close to, it's 80 actually in gematria. Maybe it means yamecha without one of the yuds.
He already know that though.
But that's that. I don't know if he knew. But this is where he was assured. Number two, he would die with his fathers. He would not die in battle. That's a great bracha, an unbelievable bracha. They say that when Rav Aaron Cutler was trying to save people from Europe, he was able to get people from Italy. He met with one of the mob bosses, mafia bosses in New York. His name was Joe Bonanno, right? And Joe Bonanno said he would do it without taking money as long as he got a bracha from the rabbi. And Rav Aaron Cutler said, everybody.
And then he got the same bracha from his son, right?
Well, hold on. Rav Aaron Cutler said, me and be blessed that you die in your bed. And for a mafia boss in the middle of whatever it was, that was an unbelievable bracha. He said, that's amazing.
There's the same story with that, but he... Like,
no, without Rav Aaron. To Rav Aaron.
No, but I'm saying, no, but or is the guy's son asked for that...
The guy's son asked for it?
From his son for the same bracha.
That's definitely, I don't know. That I don't know. But Rav Aaron said that bracha, and he said, that's the greatest bracha I've ever heard. He said it in Yiddish. He didn't really understand Yiddish, but he got the idea. Either way, regardless, he got it, and that guy did. He lived to a ripe old age and died on his deathbed. He died in his bed. So that's number two. He's not going to die in battle. Number three, his son would not usurp the throne from him. He knew here that even when Avshalom would go crazy and try to take over the kingdom, he would never be successful. He knew it. And that's why he kept running away from Avshalom. No, Avshalom thought he was better.
So why did David HaMelech have to run away if he knew that?
He didn't want to kill him. He didn't want to kill Avshalom. He knew he wouldn't be successful, so he'll let it play itself out. But he knew he wasn't going to be successful, so he said, I'll just wait until it ends. And it did. Number four, it's not your child that's going to be... Shlomo Melech has not been born yet. So David HaMelech now realized that Avshalom, Amnon, Kilav, all the people who were alive were not going to end up being king. He didn't know that, but he just realized that it's not going to be yet. It hasn't been established yet. That's number four. Number five, as soon as he ascends his throne, his kingdom will be established. Everybody will accept him as king, and Shlomo HaMelech will have a peaceful reign. That's number five. Number six, he is going to build the Beis HaMikdash out of his own wealth. That's how wealthy he's going to be. He's going to be unbelievably wealthy. Number seven, the kingdom will be eternal, and that David HaMelech's kingdom will eventually go to Mashiach itself. That means he wouldn't die early. He shouldn't do whatever it was. And even if people would make fun of him, David would accept it because he understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him to do anything right over here. David HaMelech's kids reigns. Okay, yeah, that eventually, that Mashiach will eventually come from him. What do you mean to erect? No, well, eventually it'll go through. We ended with Tzidkiah, obviously, because Tzidkiah was the last one. But eventually it'll go back, and Mashiach will end up being there, and he will be a Ben Mi Ben all the way from David HaMelech. That somebody else is going to take over. He says, "Ani elu la'av, I will be him for him as a father. Hu yelu la'bein, And this child will be like my son, says Hashem. When he sins, I'll give him Musar with the rod of people, right? Meaning, obviously, Shlomo is going to do stuff wrong, but he's going to treat him like the father would treat a son. See, if I'm not your father and I see somebody doing something wrong, I'll just, what do I care, right? And I'll just say, like, I don't believe in that guy. That guy's a fool, and I'm going to give up completely. A father never gives up on a son. Even if Shlomo Melech is going to sin, he won't be removed from the throne. He'll be given a patch, and then afterward, he'll be able to redo whatever he needs to do and get himself back. That's the idea behind it. There are going to be a schus, something that's going to be there for him that will be there at all times. And you know what that promised? Do you guys all know the Medrash with Ashmedai, king of the demons, when he took over the kingdom of Shlomo Melech? Shlomo Melech was king. Ashmedai, king of the demons, took over for a little bit. He took over because he kicked them out and he became Koheles, trying to get his way back to Yerushalayim. The guarantee was that Shlomo Melech would come back. He may not be a full king, that's the machlokas, Melech Hedyot Melech or Melech Vehedyot, but he would definitely be able to come back. That was the bracha that he was given. My chas will never be removed from him. Like I took it away from Shol, and that which I removed him from before you, there will never be a replacement. There will not be another king over Israel. There may be another king at the time. There'll be nobody will take over that's not from David Melech's kingdom. That won't happen. The faithfulness of your house and your kingdom will be forever. In front of you, and your throne will be secure for absolute ever. And this idea is conditional on them not worshipping idolatry. But even if that happens, don't worry, you will always have children that will end up becoming kings. There will always be a right to reclaim it at something point. That's the idea of the root going in until whenever Mashiach comes. All these words and all this vision, Nasan HaNavi told over to David HaMelech. He didn't flinch, and this is awesome. He didn't flinch at contradicting his earlier advice that David could erect the temple. He went back and he said, I was wrong. I'm 100% wrong. That was a huge milah on Nasan HaNavi's part.
But he's not Nasan HaNavi in the
process. That's correct, because he realized he made a mistake before. And therefore, he says he has no fear, and we're commending Nelson Avi. We're saying, this is awesome. You're willing to do this without any fear whatsoever. And that's the idea of Yavol Melech David by Yeshu Levnei Hashem. So David HaMelech came and sat in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yomer, Mi Anochi Hashem Elokim? Mi Beisik Yavi Osani Ad Halom? Who am I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my God? And who is my house that you have brought me all this way over here? Some say, Avi, what would you do? You were just given horrible news. The horrible news is, you don't get to build the Beis HaMikdash. You're not good enough to build the Beis HaMikdash. What's your reaction? What's your reaction going to be? Your reaction is going to be like, yes. Your reaction is going to be like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. David HaMelech's reaction is so classic David HaMelech. I'm praising Hashem for all the great things he's done for me because I don't deserve any of this. That is such a classic Anav's way of looking at everything. He could not believe it. That's the idea behind it. There's an amazing line by Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was once asked to read from the Torah, from Kriyas HaTorah, but he wouldn't get up. After the conclusion of Tefillos, the Talmidim went up to Rabbi Kiva and they said, Rabbi, why didn't you go up? And he said, I haven't prepared myself. The students were amazed. You didn't prepare yourself. You know Chumash Baal Peh. You know everything. Well, what do you mean you didn't prepare yourself? What Rabbi Kiva was trying to teach is, David HaMelech did not get up and daven until he settled his mind. Look at what the Pasuk says. Vayavo Mel David, Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem. He sat down in front of Hashem, sat down, settled his thoughts, got himself together, and said, here's what I want to say. That's what should be true. Listen, we have the tefillos of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, so we say our tefillos. If we wanted to get up and daven in front of Hashem in our own words, we should sit down, settle ourselves, and then afterward compose our thoughts. That's why Rabbi Kiva said, I don't do anything without preparing for it first. I want to prepare, I want to look at it, and then I'll be able to do. Chazal learned from over here that a king is allowed to sit down in the Beis HaMikdash, and only a king, nobody else, a king from David HaMelech's house, is allowed to sit down. That's the anivus that he had right over here. Batik dan oid zos beinecho. Even this is small in your eyes, Hashem Elokim. Batidar v'gamal beis avdech lemirachoik. You speak of your servant's house lasting so far into the future. V'zos Torah z'odom Hashem Elokim. This is the law of man of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something unbelievable. First of all, the undeserved kindness. The second of all, that you're promising me almost like there's Olam Haba. You're telling me that I'm going to have kids that are going to become kings. I wasn't promised that. That's the unbelievable part behind it. Some say, by the way, it says where you're Zos Toras Ha'adam Hashem Elokim. It's the first thing. Adam is Adam, David, Mashiach. That from Adam Arishon came David, and we already said that he was the Gilgal of Adam Arishon. And Mashiach is the very, very end. And that's what the three letters of Adam stands for. Others say it refers for everybody. This is for all mankind, not just for Jews. And that's what Adam refers to. Others say that the Adam that it refers to over here, Zohar to Adam, is the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was known as the real man that had everything within the Torah itself. What more is there for David to say to you? He's talking about himself in third person. You know me better than I know me. You know what I want more than I want. Right? How can I even daven for you? You know exactly what it is. And really, that is the paradox. Why are we davening for things if HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knows what we want before we get it? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that we should get it, then it should be there before I even ask for it. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? And the answer is, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear our prayers, even if he knows it's not good for us. He just wants us to daven. The davening may not work for that. It might work for something else, but he wants to hear us daven. And maybe we'll change ourselves into a different person through our tefillah, and we become somebody brand new. This person, this Tzvi Zimmerman, doesn't deserve it, but that Tzvi Zimmerman does. If I daven, I can turn myself into that person. Now I deserve that. That's what davening does. Davening changes you into a different person. For the sake of your word and according to your heart, you have done all this gedula azayis lodia es avdecha, and you have told your servant everything we need. Alkein, gadal toshem lokim. Therefore, you are great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no one like you, and there's no God other than you, as is everything that we heard from our ears itself. Who is like your people, Yisrael? They are one unique nation in the world, right? This is a line, obviously, that we have. Chazal say that this is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin. Asher holchu Elokim liftos lola'am, that God has gone to redeem them for a nation. Some say that the word Elohim over here is not referring to Hashem. It's that there are other gods that have tried to make a nation like us, but nobody can come close. That there are other gods, lowercase g, that tried to do things. V'lasumlo shame. You made them a name. V'lasalam agdula v'noroz l'artzechu. You have done greatness and awesomeness for your land. Mivnei amcha sh'apadisa l'chom mitzrayim goyim Elohim. You were able to redeem yourself from Mitzrayim. You drove out all of the nations and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the kindness that you've been able to do for us. There's hashkacha you've been able to do. Says in Pasuk Chav Dalet, v'atechonin l'cha samcha Yisrael. You have secured for yourself your people Israel, l'chola am adoylam, to be your people forever, v'ato Hashem ha'yisalam luhim, and you God became their very Lord. You became their Lord, the person in charge of them with everything. That thing that you have spoken to your servant, to his house. I want you to establish forever. To do exactly as you said. Allow my Malchus to go forever. Allow your name to become great forever. It should all be correct in front of you. You have revealed the ear of your servant saying, I will make yourself a house. And therefore, your servant decided to daven this tefillah to you. V'atosham Elokim. Ato Elokim. You are the true Lord. Dvarecha, you MS, all of your words are true. V'tzidabra lavdecha asetov azos. And may you, all the promises that you give to your servant, may they all be good and true. V'ato. Hol avarechas beis avdecha lios la'olam lefanecha. Because you have blessed the house of your servant to be forever in front of you. V'atosham Elokim. Dibarta, you have spoken. May your blessing be the blessing on top of our house forever. That will not change. There shouldn't be anything different by that. That's what we want to accept from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right. We're up to Parakas. You know what? Let's start this at least. We won't be able to do much, but at least we can start something. Okay? So let's go like this. Vayiach Reichen, in the beginning of Parakas. After all this, Vayach David es plishtim. So Chazal say the following. David Melech realized, I'm not done. Up until now, he's defended Eretz Yisrael. When Aram came in, he defended Eretz Yisrael. When the Plishtim were trying to fight, he defended Eretz Yisrael. But he never went on the offensive. This parak is David Melech saying, oh wait, I'm not done. Hashem said, I'm not done yet, that the nations could fight me later. I'm going to subjugate them right now so that no nation will ever think of fighting me again. The nations around Eretz Yisrael are the Plishtim, Edom, Ammon, and Moab. And then up top is Aram in some way. There's Aram Damesek, Aram Tsova, Aram Naharaim, all the different areas around which we would call today Syria and Lebanon, and all those people. He knew that they surrounded him, right? And he decided he was going to fight all of them, the Plishtim, first. So he fought the Plishtim, Vayachniem, and he totally subdued them. Vayikach David es Mesegoamah miyad Plishtim, and he took Mesegoamah away from the Plishtim themselves. Okay, he wanted to go on the offensive, and he did exactly this. That is why, for the first time, you'll notice, he does not ask the Urim V'Tumim what to do. Every single time he went to war until now, he asked the Urim and Tumim, should I do this, should I do that? He's not asking now. Why? Because he realized this was God's plan. God just told him, you're not done yet. So that means I have to go on the offensive. I have to go fight. He did not feel the need to go to the Urim and Tumim, and he did it exactly as it was. First thing he did is, David captured the territories close to the Plishti border. That was called Meseg Oama. It was the territories right by the border itself. David was able to capture the strongholds and eventually was able to get to Gass. Some say that Meseg means curb or bridle. You know, like how you take a thing around the animal to make sure that it turns in a certain direction. Whoever controlled this area controlled Gass and Aza and all of those other cities. And that's why it's called Meseg Oama. That's what he's able to do. Now, there was something cool over here. Meseg Oama is a bridle because it held back Bnei Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu had made a deal with the king of the Plishtim that he would not fight them and that they wouldn't fight back, right? But the bris was there. So they took an amalong strip of the donkey's bridle, the Meseg Oama, and they put it outside of their cities that David could not fight certain parts of the Plishtim. But since the Plishtim have fought Bnei Yisrael over and over and over again, therefore it was not an issue. They revoked the treaty. He took Meseg Oama. He took the bridle back from Yitzchak Avinu and kept him for himself. Das Sofrim says he kept Achish alive. Achish was the king of the Plishtim, maybe out of Akaras HaTov. If you remember, Achish gave him the area, Tziklag, that he was able to live in when he ran away from Shaul, so he kept him alive because of Akaras HaTov. Pasuk Beis? All right, maybe we'll stop right there. Okay, we'll stop right there, guys.